I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet on my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The thing about this particular passage of Scripture that stuck in my mind this week was that last phrase of the fourth verse. As I said this morning, I've had a lot of things on my mind in terms of our nation and tried to pray for our nation. I tried to think about that, to pray for circumstances, but one thing that stood out to me that has become very prominent in our culture today is the banner that you carry, or the label that is placed upon us in so many ways. One of the things that has taken a great deal of prominence in the past months has been the banner of your party affiliation. This, if you've gotten as many phone calls from one party or another as I have over the last several months, you know that there's a great deal of importance placed upon which party label you have. We have labels that are put upon us in many ways, regardless of what party we might be affiliated with. You're either a conservative on the one hand, or a liberal on the other hand, or a moderate if you fall somewhere in between. We have a banner that we see, hopefully, which unites all of us, and that is the banner that flies as the stars and stripes over our nation. I want you to see with me tonight that no matter how important each of these individual things might be to you, there is a great truth that we're given in this passage of Scripture that's of a great importance to us. We have an even greater banner that's over us, regardless of which party we might affiliate ourselves with, regardless of what level we might say we are, regardless of the flag that flies over a building. We have a banner, and his banner over us is love. Lord, guide our minds and hearts as we look upon your Scriptures tonight. I pray that you would help us each to see the truth that you have given us about the banner that you've given in the person of Jesus Christ. And Father, the joy that we find under that banner. Help me to preach. Help me to preach your word. Help me to preach your truth. Help me to preach under the leadership and the power of your Holy Spirit. Guide my words. Use me as your vessel. But fill us all with your love, I pray. In Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. This book, the Song of Solomon, is a book that's unique in its content and in its structure. It's one of those books that's generally grouped under the books of wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Every book that's in this book, that every individual book that's in this total book of the Bible is the Lord's wisdom. But because of the way they're written and their style, the books of Job and Psalms and Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes are referred to as the books of wisdom. And this particular book has two levels of meaning in it. There is one level that speaks of the relationship between a husband and a wife. There is that love that is spoken of, that is of an intimacy between a husband and a wife. An even greater level of that is shown to us in light of the statement in Ephesians chapter 5. We find that this book speaks to us of the love between Christ and His bride, the church. You see, the relationship of a husband and wife in our experience upon this earth is the foundational relationship that helps us understand much of the depth of the relationship that Christ has with us. We are married to Christ. We are joined to Him. We are given to Him by our Father in heaven. You know, we talk about marriages today, and we think about courtships and dating and boxes of chocolate and telephone calls and all of that stuff. But you understand that in the Scriptures, the relationship is spoken of in light of the custom of the Father arranging the marriage. And it goes back to the book of Genesis, into the second chapter, when Adam was alone and God said it was not good that man should be alone. And Adam looked at all of the other creatures that had been created, but there was not an help suitable for him. And God caused that deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took a rib, and out of that rib he made woman. And the key statement in that whole experience comes from, to me, the key statement in that whole experience is that God brought her to the man. God prepared and God brought exactly what Adam needed. And I would tell you, folks, that in His grace, God has prepared a bride for Jesus Christ. And God doesn't leave the bride out there to find Him. God brings and draws all His people to Christ. And you see, it's that in the book of Ephesians, we find that two relationships are spoken of. Beginning at verse 22, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife." This is not a male-female conflict. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You see, the height of that relationship, while it's described for us in man and woman, the ultimate of that relationship is between Christ and the church. In the book of the Song of Solomon, we find that relationship between the love of his wife and this man, Solomon, a man of wealth, a man of wisdom. He was given a wealth, that his prayer to God was that he might have wisdom to know how to govern so great a people as God's people, and God gave him wealth like nobody else had. And God gave him wisdom like nobody else had. And yet, keep in mind, beloved, the Bible says to us of Christ, He says, one greater than Solomon is here. So as we see the example in Solomon, It extrapolates to a much greater degree in our relationship with Christ. Now look with me, if you would, at just a couple of things. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, tells us that that relationship is a very unique and singular and important relationship. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And I understand that that's Solomon as he speaks, I am. Then he says, and as the lily is among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Here is her view of her beloved Solomon, and he's like the apple tree among the tree of the woods. I'll put it this way. How many of you have ever seen an apple tree in full bloom? Got a lot of, how about a pear tree? There's more of those around here, I think, than there are apple trees. Had the opportunity when I was in high school to go to the National Cherry Blossom Festival in Washington, D.C. in April of that year. That was back in the dark ages when I was in high school. But you drive around that area of the mall, and there were just these brilliantly blooming cherry trees, white blossoms, just ablaze all around. Imagine a tree that's in bloom like that in the middle of a bunch of pine trees. My wife and I have driven over the last 7 years. We drive up and down 301, going back and to Jacksonville. We prefer the pace of 301 over the pace of I-95. And we drive down through Charlton County and down through Brantley County. And there was nothing scenic about that route, because about the only thing you saw were pine trees. And if I understand that she has a view of her loved one as being the most glorious one among the barrenness of all others. You see, he stood out as the flower in a barren place. He stood out as the bloom. She stood out as one more beloved, as the rose among the thorns. You see, the singularness of this relationship is one which each one viewed as being very unique and very valuable. Have you ever thought about your relationship to Christ in that regard? But then I want you to notice that this relationship was not one that, you know, all kinds of jokes have been made in our culture about marriage. Now, sin plays a part in marriage as well as it affects everything else. Some are less stressful, perhaps, than others. Have been around longer than others. Some are just getting started. But the fact of the matter is, all are affected by sin. And yet, we're told that in this relationship, it wasn't a stress, it wasn't a conflict that was spoken of, it was a feast. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. In this relationship, what I want you to see, brothers and sisters, is that in this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, we have a banner that is over us. We have a flag. We have a standard. We have one that we've been given. We didn't design it. We didn't sew it. We didn't manufacture it. It's been given to us. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Psalms for a moment. God's banner Look with me in Psalm 60. I'm going to read the first five verses of this psalm for the sake of time tonight. Look with me at Psalm 60, verses 1 through 5. You'll notice, first of all, that this was written in a difficult time. It wasn't in the smoothest of circumstances. Oh God, Thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn Thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed Thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. But now I want you to notice something. In the middle of the hard things, in the time of astonishment, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that Thy beloved may be delivered, save with Thy right hand. Hear me. You see, in the midst of this difficult time when God had judged His people, in the midst of this time when there was a struggle, in the midst of this time when there was a shaking in the earth, God had given a banner. Now, that word banner translates from a Hebrew word which literally means a flag. It's a different word that's translated banner here than it is in the Song of Solomon, but it's the same idea of a flag that is to be raised. That's why that the flag is said to be lifted up. This is not a secret banner. This is not a hidden flag. This is one that's to be raised up and to be shown forth. His banner over us is given to us by God. God sent forth His Son. God so loved the world that He... what? What's the next word? He gave. Thou hast given us a banner. What's our banner? The love of God in Jesus Christ. Thou, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, if you look with me again in the book of Isaiah, notice two passages of Scripture there. Isaiah chapter 5, look at verse 26. And He will lift up an ensign, a flag, a standard, a banner. He will, God will, lift up an ensign to the nations from afar. Now, I want you to notice something about this banner. The banner, the flag, as it's raised up, is a banner that marks the presence of the King. The standard marked the presence of the One around whom all of the army would gather. The flag marked, if you would, the headquarters. It marked the One who was leading. It marked the One to whom everybody looked. You remember the stories that have been relayed from war times of our own nation about how important it was to those who bore the colors to keep those colors up and not to let them fall. If the individual was wounded or was killed and those colors began to fall, somebody else would get them and raise them up because they in themselves were a standard of hope. There was the recognition of the leader. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the King, and the standard of God's love around Him is the hope that we have. He will lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. No man, Jesus said, cometh unto me in John chapter 6, no man cometh unto me except my Father which is in heaven draw him. He shall hiss unto them. He shall send forth a message unto them. But Jesus is the one around whom God's people gather. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. What was it that the beloved said in the Song of Solomon? He took me into the dungeon.
No.
He left me alone.
No.
He took me into the banqueting house. You see, brothers and sisters, our relationship with Jesus Christ is a rich and a glorious and a beneficial relationship. And over us, and marking us, and marking the place, marking the one to whom we are to come, is the banner of His love. God is love. God's a lot of things. God is true. God is right. God is almighty. God is all-wise. God is omnipresent. But one of the things that we're told in 1 John in a very plain, straightforward statement, God is love. You see, brothers and sisters, the presence of the love of God is what marks us at His banqueting house. He draws over us under this ensign. He is lifted up. There's nothing secretive about Jesus Christ. There have been those who at times for their own safety had to worship in the catacombs and in out-of-the-way places. And that time might come again in this world. But let me tell you something. The more that the adversary has tried to silence the name of Christ and to tear down that banner, the more it has spread. In the Scriptures it says, the more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied. Why? Because it is a banner that has been raised up over a banqueting house. In the Psalm, the Lord has prepared a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You see, folks, we have a rich and a joyous and a very unique and particular relationship with Christ. There is no one like our Lord. He is the lily in the middle of the valley. He is the rose. And the rose of Sharon, if I understand correctly, was not a flower that grew on rose bushes like we have where there's umpteen dozen of them on one bush. It was a rose that grew by itself, singularly along the pathway. And you would be walking along in a barren area and there would be the rose that would stand by itself. You see, Jesus stands in our path, in the barren walk of this life. And with Him, we are given His love. And His love directs In fact, Paul uses a rather interesting word about the love of God in Jesus Christ. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constraineth us. It sets the boundaries for us. It sets the pattern for us. It sets the direction for us. It holds us together. The love of Christ constraineth us. You know, there are those in the world today that have the idea, seemingly, that if God is love, God's just going to let me do everything I want to. He's going to give me everything I want. Paul said that the love of Christ constrains us. It sets boundaries in our lives. He sets the boundary at what's best for us. We are together under His love. We are together under His banner. We are to go under I know the phrase that I've heard on one time, the blood-stained banner of King Emmanuel. God has given us a banner. Now, let me ask you a question. If God has put you under His love and He's given you the ensign of His love in Jesus Christ, how high do you raise it? How visible is it in your life? You see, it's one thing to know, I've been given this banquet. I've got the richness of the relationship of Jesus Christ. I've been given this marvelous thing. But I would say to you tonight that we need to understand as well that this love that we've had placed upon us is given for us to set forth in the midst of this world to show that this is where the King abides. Look with me for just a moment in the book of John. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You see, brothers and sisters, our love for one another, our love that we share with others, we love because God first loved us. We love God because He first loved us, and we love one another as He loved us because He loved us first. And I would say to you that the idea of the banner over us is the identification of the church of Jesus Christ. His love that He's given to us is to be demonstrated in His body. And that banner over us identifies the disciples of Christ. That banner over... It's not just a piece of cloth. We got flags here that are a piece of cloth. But you see, the love that God has placed upon us is more than a thing. It is a life. It motivates all that we do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The presence of His love over us marks our path of obedience. And it is to demonstrate our love of Christ in the face of the time where it seems that we've been cast off, in the face of the time when the world seems to be shaking, in the face of the time that the psalmist spoke of when they were scattered. It's not just a matter of being only at a certain time. It is in the midst of the world, the banner of the Lord's love of grace is over us. It's a banner of grace. It's not a banner of party affiliation. It's not a banner of ethnic affiliation. I've heard it put forth in recent years, that Christianity is only belongs to white Western European American, and that this group has another religion in that group. There's one banner. And that banner is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not limited to any one nation. It's not limited to any one group. It's not limited to any one generation. It never becomes outdated. Why? Because God never changes. His banner over us is the love of God in Jesus Christ. We're under His love. We're marked by His love. And we are to carry His love to others. So you see, reading this passage is a joyous thing. It's a joyous thing to know that He brought me into a banquet. He's the one who is the love of my life. He's the light of my eye. And you know, we all have those others in our lives that we refer to with those expressions. But in a greater way than any others, Jesus Christ ought to be that way for us. And He brings us. I don't have to cook the meal. I don't have to go to the grocery store. He brings me into the joy of that relationship. And His banner over me is love. Folks, a lot of things might change, but that banner never has. And you see, in the midst of those times, when the world seems to be shaken, in the midst of those times when we might see ourselves even as cast off, our challenge is not to come up with a new banner. Our challenge is not to try to reinvent the wheel, if I might use that expression. Our challenge is simply to stand firm under the banner of Jesus Christ. May we see that banner as our banner. May we live the love that marks us as the dwelling place of Jesus Christ. May God bless is my prayer.